A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Senior editor at Billboard, and with me today I have my coworker Jason Lipschitz.
Oh, that's not even Lipschitz? Close this time. Yeah, Lipschitz. That's
I get his name wrong every time.
But
that's
you work
okay.
With him
yeah,
every
I was like,
day.
Don't you work with him?
I do work with him. I just don't say.
Okay, and I also have Tracy G and Niall Ivy, aka Loki, aka should I keep going?
No. Loki is fine.
Oh, gosh.
But I'll Shut let you guys Trace. Tell the people what you guys do, how many hats you wear. Tracy, you want to go first?
Yeah, sure.
Adele
I work on.
Huh?
Already.
Is your name suddenly Tracy?
Wow. Already.
I know men are becoming more effeminate, but shit.
JK.
Yeah, so Tracy G. I started off in the writer world along with
you
my
did.
Good friend, Erica Ramirez.
Yes, vibe.
Yeah,
Shout
we have a very thick story of how our friendship came to be. I'll save that for another podcast, though. But currently, in present tense, I work over in Sway in the Morning. I'm the newest on-air host, and also I do correspondence work for BET, for 106 in Park, to be more specific, and just trying to infiltrate the television world, be as socially responsible as possible with a mic, and, you know, just try not to be like the cat to my right.
That's not nice. Erica, so you're right.
I am. I actually am
so
the one on
nice.
The right. So the one to
right
of me.
My name is Niall Loki Ivy. I have a website called You Heard That New, which was founded in 2007. Graduate from Howard University. She ran down her. I'm running down.
I like it.
But I'm a social media strategist for Kevin Lyle's management company, and I run my own site, and I'm an event host. So, yeah.
Yeah, he'd be hosting out here.
I'd be hosting, yeah.
And Jason is not allowed to talk about pop this time around.
I'm going through my backstory. I was born in Philadelphia.
In a manger.
On a windy night. I'm the pop editor of Billboard.com and the host of the Pop Shop podcast, where we talk about pop music. Usually my day-to-day job consists of helping Erica pronounce my name. Unfortunately, we still haven't gotten there, and I will start spelling her name with a C.
You guys don't do bylines in magazines.
That's
anymore?
Going too far. Cannot spell my name with a C. Anyway, we are here to talk about two things. The first thing is Tarius Nash, The Dream. I feel like the reason I have you guys on this podcast is because you guys have been all very vocal as to your like for The Dream. So why so? Like, what is it about him, Tracy?
I think that he finds a really good balance. At least this was where my initial love was kindled by him. He was one of the first artists in the new generation. We're not going to exclude R. Kelly because he definitely is a part of, the batch that came from him that were inspired by Kells, but he was the first one to really blend like a soft side and a nasty, harder side, you know? He just formed this amalgamation of various genres of R&B and put it together, and I thought, oh my goodness, especially when it comes to the interludes, that's what hooked me, because I can't remember the last time I fell in love with interludes, and that really helped with the cohesion of an album, you know, versus it just being about, okay, let's put radio first. He was really thinking about let's put the album first, you know? Let's look at the sequencing. Let's put all of that together. And I think that one of the holy trinities of music back when I first heard of Terrius was him, Tricky, Los. I was like, y'all better find some human super glue and keep your bodies near each other at all fucking times. And it's so clear to see all of the spawns of the dream right now,
right.
You know, which make it interesting with hearing him in 2014, because I feel like, and I'll go into this more later, but I feel a little bit desensitized when I listen to him, because it's kind of just been this oversaturation of hyper masculine R&B. So it's harder for me to listen to him with like really, really kind of new ears.
But if he's the one that somewhat.
I know, it's strange, but it's like he's the father, but he has all these cute sons. And I'm like, damn,
so
yo.
Your eyes are wandering to the new. The new sound,
not even to the new sound. It's just, I don't know. It doesn't feel as special as it once did. You know what I mean? I think our relationship has just been going on for a very, very long time, right. And I want to fuck somebody new.
Always well, find a way good, to sexual in yes, those. Always.
This is why.
Always. Jesus Christ.
It's a good time
I'm
to
Scorpio.
Move.
Does it not work? Do you not get
time,
it?
Good time to move on to low.
I guess my love for Mr. Nash, it just started with the honesty and just even in the song titles. Like, mm-hmm. to be brave enough to have a song called I Love Your Girl. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's like that's what every guy has that feeling or that saying. And like Tracy, I'm gonna piggyback off of what she was saying, just like how cohesive he made these albums, how like the sequencing, like the synergy between all the songs, like you've never felt out of place. No song ever felt out of place. Maybe some on the new material, on the new albums, but his first three albums, no song ever felt out of place. Like, oh, that belonged on the other album, or we could have done without that. So it was his writing, you know, just phenomenal. Beat selection, like he said, Tricky and Los, you guys got to just, you know, he's back with Tricky, but Los, you know, they need that holy trinity back together again. So it's just the honesty, you know, that's a real, real honest character. And, you know, he wears it on his sleeve, and we all can relate to the stories that, you know, Nicki, part one, part two, part three, you feel what I'm saying? So it's just like telling those stories, reliving those stories, and still reliving those stories till this day. So.
Yeah, I mean, I echo what you guys said. I mean, I can talk about the beats and the production and the writing and the honesty. I love, that's what I loved about 1977 was a song like Wedding Crasher. What always drew me to the dream was his humor. And I always like artists that don't take themselves too seriously and can kind of laugh at themselves sometimes. And my favorite The Dream album is Love Versus Money, because some of the songs on that album, like Sweat It Out, like, is a really great like slow jam, but it's also kind of funny. Like, he's talking about like the hair, like the weave coming undone. He's like, oh, you'll go to the hairdresser tomorrow. It's okay.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out. And then there's another song, and I think it's either Fancy or Mr. Yeah, and it has this beautiful, beautiful outro of all these harmonies.
Yes, Fancy. Yeah.
And then it just ends with him going, can we fuck now?
Right.
and it's like, it's funny to me. It's just like, all right, this is a guy who's making really brilliant R&B music, but is also being himself and kind of clowning around with it. He has a lot of serious moments, but he mixes it in a way that I really appreciate.
Makes him a very real person.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He's hella transparent.
Right.
Right. And my favorite versions of The Dream are when he's talking about stealing other people's misses and just, you know, gathering up his stable of women who don't belong to him. And when he's angry. So it has to focus on lust and fury a lot for me. When he's doing really, really well, that's when I'm going to be like, Like when he was married to Christina Milian and Love King came out, yeah. Even though there were a lot of records that I liked on there, it wasn't
It was
my
too
favorite.
Happy. It was just too. Yeah. He was too much of a good space.
Right.
Like,
which
I get what you're like, no, you have to go back. You got to get dark again.
Mm-hmm.
You feel, and some artists, it doesn't work well. Like when Kanye's in a dark, dark place, I'm not here for that. You know, I'm not here for Kanye. I'm here for the graduation. I'm here for I'm not here for the Twisted Dark. I'm not here for Yeezus. I'm not here for that. So I'm like,
I mean, that's a different type of.
That's a dark.
Yeezus and dark are two different
darks,
types of darks.
But it's still dark.
So you're happy.
So when
you're happy.
I'm happy, yeah, but that's a different conversation. But when the dream is, you know, dark and, you know, calling out the exes and calling out the women, that the side bitches that fucked up a situation that he was in, though, that's what I'm here for, because we've all been through that.
Yeah.
We've all been through a situation where a side chick has fucked something up or his ex has tried to come back and make something right.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying? And then that's when we're taken to a dark place. So, like, I just like when he's dark. I don't like when he's...
But then it gives
bright.
You comedic relief so that you're not just drowning in a pool
of
sorrow.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, all right, bitch, now...
I'm going, we played this dance before, like, now let's...
Right, pick your chin up.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Right. So have you guys heard the new EP, Royalty?
Yes.
What do you guys think?
The first track, I was like, all right, Terrius, we're in. Duet is perfection. I feel like he's returned back to his, not even like it's a big return, but you can clearly see that Tricky is in the mix.
Yes, you definitely can.
You know what I mean? It makes the holes from the past a bit more noticeable, but that's cool. That's the past, whatever. Overall, I like it, but it's crazy timing, and I hate to compare with artists, but I can't help it because when I heard Trey Songz's album, I heard so many different accessories placed on songs that I feel stem back to Terrius Nash. But it was taken to, like, another level. So I had to remind myself with certain records, like, what's it called?
Wedding Bells.
I'm not into. See,
what?
Happiness.
Yeah,
really well, no, that's about divorce. That's about divorce.
Wedding Bells is not.
Divorce.
Yeah, that's not a happy song.
Is that, I don't know.
That's not a, it sounds happy,
yeah,
but what he's talking about is
it's not.
Is, yeah.
I don't know, because sometimes when you're joking, when you're, like, too deliberate, like, when your joke is whack and you put on a record... Or just some type of statistic that's, I don't know, that 60%, whatever, the opening of that. I was like, all right.
I think he's mocking it. It's like you can sing and you can, you know, hover around divorce and it just sounds like you're just drowning. And like, oh, like, I got divorced and I hate divorce. And it's like, yo, okay, well, this is the fun side of divorce.
Right.
Right, I'm going to throw a wedding just to have a party.
Maybe it wasn't creative enough. It was too, like, just obvious songwriting to me. And then the other one I'm not crazy about is...
Cold wasn't a favorite. It sounds out of place.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess it's just because this word is so overused and fucking retweeted every day. But culture just bothers
like
me
culture.
A little bit. I have a love-hate relationship.
No, I like it. That's a nice little night.
Shout out to Terrius.
That's a nice night. Culture is a nice... Like, he really broke... Every little intricate detail going
yeah.
out.
I'm trying
is,
to decondition
like, yeah.
you don't
myself.
Like the song because of the word. Because,
no, I get it though.
Yeah.
I get it.
Because
but
of the
I like
word
it now.
Outside of this album.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's why he used it. You
right.
know what I mean? So
right.
it's like
right.
super trendy.
But
it's like, you know.
And he's naming stuff that's super trendy, like the Jordans. You know, you
exactly.
put the threes on, you put the
so
fours
like,
on. It's like, okay, that's cute.
All right. But I honestly had to manage my expectations and remind myself that it's an EP. And that's what stopped me from comparing it to Trey.
Yeah.
You know?
That's exactly how I feel. I'm just happy that, I mean, I like the Royalty EP. I'm just happy that he's going in a different direction than Foreplay, his last album, which I really violently disliked.
Oh, yeah.
And
violently.
I know.
It wasn't
I,
that
wow,
bad.
That was
really?
I can't even.
No.
What's a song
latter,
off of
the
there besides
of that
album?
Okay, the latter part. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
the latter
part.
You blocked
album.
It out, right? You're
that was
like,
an album?
Yeah.
That was
100%
an album.
That was last year.
Yeah. The latter part of that album is just not.
Wow.
I also think that was a contractual obligation as well.
Yeah.
I think
that
was just
a tough
get that
album
way.
I know it doesn't make it any less
exactly.
whack, but I think that was just to get it out the way.
Exactly.
I mean, I saw that album as like he made these three, the Love Trilogy, and he wanted to have that mainstream moment. He's like, all right, it's my time to be like an actual superstar. And he got like Jay-Z and,
yeah,
and all
right.
these, and all these, yeah, two
Beyonce
chains.
And he
was
said
on,
that.
Was,
oh, yeah,
was
Beyonce.
He was like, everybody
and
who owes me.
And then,
that
yeah,
was real good.
And then you're listening to that album and you're just like, oh my God, how could this have gone any more wrong? Like, I remember the two of us were definitely in the listening session and Timbaland was there like praising it. And I was just like, what's going on? Because people are really excited about this album.
I think we left that session and you brought up
artist names like The Weeknd, and you were like, this kind of sounds.
I was just like sad. I didn't know where to turn. I really didn't.
You got to turn to the old CDs.
I know. I was just, I put
every,
on
every
Love
artist
King
is
and
allowed
wept.
One.
Yeah.
One
sure. Yeah.
Horrible project.
And it's just like, and I, man, there was that song Equestrian. I don't even want to talk about.
I like that
anymore.
Song.
I don't even want
to
talk.
There was
about
I even put some choreography
on there
that.
Though.
Yeah.
Too Early was great with
Gary Clark.
Yeah, that was, yeah,
that
was great
a great
song.
Yeah.
Well,
that's
what I mean. The
what's
first
interesting
part is good.
Was that yeah. About a year before that listening session, we went to another listening session with the Dream, with a batch of songs that never came out. And they were like long, weird R&B songs that I really liked. One of them had Gucci Mane on them.
Of
which
course,
of
you
course like
that
I'm
one.
Like.
Okay.
So, I guess he just reworked it into something like a star-studded affair. But anyway, going back to Royalty EP, this seems like he's kind of going back to basics a little bit. He's it's not as cohesive as like a Love album, but it's not a Love album. It's an EP. It's a free joint, and I don't know. I'm encouraged by what this album, what this EP, I should say, is
I wasn't
sending out.
I wasn't, and I'm not going to use violently, you know, dislike. I'm going to start using that though, but not now, not right now. But 1977 was not my favorite. It just didn't sit well with me, or just didn't sound like. The writing was a little bit off. Like, the production was stale. There were certain tracks that stood out, but, like, you know, Wedding Crashers, like, that's one of my favorite songs of all time. But everything else is just of his?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Of his?
I
Wedding
love
Crashers.
Wedding Crasher.
That's a gut-wrenching, like...
I just feel like that didn't... 1977 didn't flow. It's as if he just grabbed a couple songs and just
like
kind of threw them all together.
Yeah. This has a lot more cohesiveness, like, any other project of his, but it was too spotty. I didn't... Because I could turn it off. Like, I would put that project on and really go straight to Wedding Crashers or go to the one with him and Pharrell and not play anything else.
So how does it rank with this current R&B scene? You know what I mean? Do you feel like this is going to spark any type of inspiration or competition with his peers now?
I think him and Trey are at the forefront. I think the competition, I think now whoever comes up, you know, after these two are looking at them like, okay, well... Now it's competitive. Now, like, Trey is doing this, and then, you know, Therese is doing that, and then Usher's doing what he's doing. So there's three spots that, you know, the little guys can cover and attack.
You think Tarius is setting a bar with this EP?
Not setting a bar, but getting back to where...
Back in the conversation.
Yeah, he's back in the conversation. He wasn't in the conversation
at all. Right?
But are we thankful of Tricky for that?
Yeah.
Like, I really think it's Tricky. Like, I think that's the reason why we're...
But it's crazy because it doesn't seem like... It seems like the Dream is sharing a lane right now. Where before, yeah, he was the underdog. But now I see, like, different shells of him. Not to say, now, if you're a shell of someone, you're just the skin. You know what I mean? You're not the substance. You're not the meat. But there's other people that sound like him. So when I look at various lanes, right, there's Miguel, who does not sound like the Dream to me. You can see the influences, you know, and like
you can hear
little
it.
Inflections. Yeah, yeah, but you can tell that he took that and like did further than remix it.
He's more like Prince and
he's attacking that.
Yeah.
He wants that title.
Mm-hmm. But with and Usher is doing something completely different because I feel like he's going a little bit more adult contemporary. Right. You know what I'm saying? But then the Dream and Trey sound like they share blood.
Well, and you
that's
know what's funny?
you know
what's funny? Like, I'm listening to Trigger, and I'm like you said, like there's little inklings of like that, and like you know, even the production,
yeah.
It's just like there's something. Like, did Trey listen to the Dream before this was crafted?
Somebody played a mean joke on Trey. And was like, yo,
even
Terry
like,
has decided to retire. Yeah, yo, like, this yo shit.
Like, even what? Disrespect sounds like a Dream track.
Yeah,
the one with him and Mila J.
Yeah.
It's just like the production, how it's dressed, how it's produced, what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
That's a Dream content type song. Mm-hmm.
I'll just say that I listened to the Dream after I was done listening to Trigga. Like, I went and listened to the Dream albums after I listened to Trigga. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember you brought up like someone's tweet as to like comparing both.
Oh yeah, it was like what did they say? They were like Trey Songz sounds like he does an amazing job like taking qualities from other artists and being like almost like forming like Voltron, like as, a,
right.
as his own artist.
Like a quilt. Right.
Yes, he is.
A
the
quilt
artist.
Yeah, Trey. But it's good. The quilt keeps us warm. It's okay. Yeah, yeah. Serves
the
purpose.
The quilt is number one right now. So
why not?
He's good.
I also don't want the dream to sing about that. I feel like he sings a lot about the competition or those artists that like kind of steal from him. I don't want to hear that from him anymore.
Don't acknowledge it.
I mean, that's what it is, though. That's who he...
And that's true. And address it, which he has. Yeah. He did that on Foreplay also. And then, like, okay.
Let it go.
And didn't the dream start off rapping? Isn't that, like, a little secret fun fact about him?
I thought it was songwriting all day.
I mean, songwriting, but yeah. I feel like at some point I remember, because I used to Google random things about him.
But he can rap. I mean, not he can rap, but like he's not horrible.
I really like when he raps on the Royalty EP because he's just like, oh, you forgot I could do this? Like, and it's only for like 12 seconds at a time, and it's always so angry, and I'm like, oh, Tarius, like, yeah, you're fine, man. You don't have to prove anything. You're good.
Just do it. Like, it's okay.
Yeah.
Like, we notice.
But it's
that
a
grab from you.
But it's competition. Like, you always want to acknowledge, like, yo, the competition is me. Like, I'm batting against myself. Like, I'm the raunchy guy. I'm the one with the intricate interludes. Like, y'all got that from me. And I feel like if that's the chip on his shoulder and that's going to make him push more, then
go for it. Yeah.
Yeah, go for it.
Because he was kind of excused from the table. You know
what
I mean?
Then get Los back in the mix.
Yeah.
And show us that way.
Some, I don't know.
He's still going to do it. No matter the backdrop, he's still going to do it. And he's writing his own shit. So no one's going to write anything else for him.
Right.
You know
but
what I'm saying?
Now so, I wonder if he, with him and Trick with their new
the culture,
label.
Yeah, the label, yeah.
I wonder if they would have a male artist.
Well, I don't know. Are they?
Because I
they
feel
signing
like,
anybody? Is that a hall, like a music
I feel
home?
Like if shoot, that's a little. I don't know. If you do a label and you're the only artist.
Well, yeah, because he said he didn't want to do a label. He didn't say he said he didn't want to sign anybody. He didn't
okay.
Yeah,
so
they put
hard.
Like a little description.
Yeah,
about what
interesting,
it was.
Because you know he was the one who wrote Bed, Jay Holiday, and I feel like that's what made him realize, fuck this shit, I need to be an artist.
Right.
That was the only record he ever wrote for a man. You realize that?
Real? No, I didn't.
And where's that man at? Guillotine, yo.
R.I.P. So I want to ask you guys, because I honestly don't know this. Mm-hmm. This is something I'm not aware of. So I read about that the Dream got married over the weekend.
Yeah, in San Francisco.
But no one knows
Look at the blog.
What? Okay. I had no information.
So Lo was there at the wedding. That's awesome. So, but I also read that, and it's like the third paragraph of every rap blog. It's like, oh, we don't know who he got married to. Like, he posted, like, mysterious pictures of this woman, and, like, everyone's okay with this, that he got married, but no one knows.
You need to know the name.
Wait, why should we not be?
So over, like, private lives of celebrities.
But isn't it good?
See, that's the thing. I don't care about, like, celebrity culture or celebrity life at all. Kind of weird that he married like maybe if he's like, oh, the Dream went to get Starbucks with a mysterious woman, he got married,
but he's been quiet for a long time though, right? Like, so the album came out last year, he put a couple videos out, we didn't hear from him, like no music, no nothing, like he wasn't in the news, he wasn't remixing or writing, it was just that was the love time, that was that time where he was just in love.
But with
falling
who?
Over for like
you,
that's
you know
what it was, honestly.
I mean,
I would think
Dream is, I think right now, closer to 40 than he is to 30, right?
Yeah, I think
and he's
right.
been in the spotlight, well, in the spotlight and behind the spotlight for humongous artists for so long, and then he really saw he wanted the fame and the recognition as an artist, and what comes with that is a magnifying glass on your private life.
He
and
went
he got
through
it the
it.
Worst.
Yeah. He went through it with Christina Milian.
Yeah, like all of his relationships
and
walked
then,
the plank. So I feel like now he's realizing, let me keep this quiet.
He's what, 2 for 3? This is the second marriage?
No. Well, he was married to
Nivea.
Nivea. Yeah.
And then Christina, did he marry? He married. They had a child. Yeah. So yeah, it's just this third
and then
go
he
around.
Had that affair.
Keep that to yourself.
So now that you
keep
see like
that
all the stuff that he's been through, and then working with these artists who've also been through, like Rihanna, Beyonce, Kelly Rowland, like all these women that he's written for, would you want to go through that, or would you want to put your wife through that?
Exactly.
So it's like that year after the music, the album came.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Came out, it was private. Right. You learn the trick of the trade. It's like, okay, exactly. I know how to move. I know where to go. I know
I'm
who
all
to
for
talk
the dream,
to.
Not adding his girl. Don't add your girl on Instagram.
Yeah.
This is interesting to me. Because here's the thing. I feel like you can still be discreet and not marry someone with a paper bag over their head. I guess that's my point.
Well, no, he didn't.
I'm just saying.
Because after he got married, she was on Instagram and, you know, she was in, you know, on the blogs or whatever. So we just don't know who it is. Like, we know that she's very pretty.
I think it's also because she's not.
We know that, like, she's
it's
very
like,
attractive.
It's like a game of guess who.
Yeah, like, it's not like she's ugly or like you see the back of her head and her like her red bottoms like every other basic bitch does.
Right. You need money for red bottoms.
No, but I'm just saying, like, he claims her.
I don't think it's because she's famous, also. I think probably she's not like a celebrity or an artist of her own. So
people will find out. Someone's going to Google image her. Oh, that's Sheila from Connecticut, and she's a doctor, and she just happened to fall in love with.
And you know what?
Yeah.
I hope she
is. I'm just probably going to be like someone from like an obscure town. Like.
And I think he's taking it back to just having some type of mystique, you know?
Yeah.
We've all seen for what, maybe the past 5 years, transparency's become the new mystery. You know what I'm saying? And like I was saying earlier, I'm over it because it's too much. With all of these celebrities on social media and they're just sharing their lives like to level 10 on Twitter, to level 20 on Instagram, you know what I mean? Where I'm just like, let me pay attention to someone on YouTube because I'm over y'all. You know what I'm saying?
But it's dope, and it's dope how the marriage news came out and the EP comes out.
Yeah.
So now there's two things to talk about.
See, when you say that though, it's weird because I always have to remind myself there is a business when it comes to music and it can be from the heart. And something from the heart can be monetized. But then when you say that, I'm just like, oh, it's so strange
but I
hearing
don't think
a meeting
it's,
about. So guys, I just got
no,
married.
No.
24 hours later, guess what's going to drop?
I don't think this was a marketing scheme. I just think that he was happy about his new situation.
Thanks,
he's happy about his music.
Okay,
he's found love again. Right. So like, hey, let's you know, let it out.
I understand. I'm getting married next year, and I'm going to put my new EP out.
Yeah.
Like a week later.
You're not going to do that.
I've specifically told my wedding photographer to give us the dream treatment and not take any photos of her. Just me on my big day. Here I am in a tux by a river.
There's photos of her on his Instagram.
There are photos
of them like kissing.
Yeah. Okay. You can see her face. You can make out her face. Okay. It's not like the...
I hope if the dream is listening to this, and I'm sure he is because he always listens to the Juice podcast. I hope he knows I'm very happy for the dream. I'm not saying that I'm not like, why did you
at
get
her,
married?
At her.
I'm very happy for him. I just think it's interesting that it literally was like, you know, every rapper, like, oh, we don't know who it is. Like, just interesting.
I think that's dope.
Speaking of happy, so is the next album going to be happy? And are you guys going to be okay with that? Because a lot of this conversation was, we like dark, Terrius.
I think that it might, I think he has a chip on his shoulder now because 4Play was not a commercial success. And even if he's happy in his personal life and there might be some love songs, I think he has something to prove now, more than maybe ever, as a solo artist. Like, because, yeah, 4Play did not do well, aside from me not liking it. It's not like
violently.
It was a hit violently. Record.
Right.
Violently.
You're so right. And a lot more people know about him because of all he did with Beyonce. You know what I'm saying? So he has a lot more. He has the mainstream eyes on him that he's been working so hard to get. And he sprinkled that throughout all of his songwriting, too.
I think the new album, you know, if we do get one in a year or whatever, I think it's there is there's space to be creative. Like, it doesn't have to necessarily reflect his current situation.
Yeah.
Like, this is entertainment at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So just because he is happy doesn't mean he can't tap into a darker side or can't reflect back into darker times. So, and it still can be the dream that we know and remember. But I'm here for, you know, the happy and this is what we
evolution,
do during.
Right?
I'm here for that.
Right.
But.
Hey, just remember, there
I'm
is a woman
about
out
that
there.
Dark shit. I'm tweeting about Nikki.
There is a woman out there who said Dream put his hands on her. So if he needs to go to a dark space, concentrate on
that's a song right there.
It is.
Yeah, I need a bitch. I need
my hands on a bitch.
I need a Nikki. I need you know.
Or did I?
Talking all this crazy shit. It ain't right.
I can't start singing.
We'll
please
stupid.
Don't start singing.
We'll be all right.
Let's talk about Maybach.
Oh, yeah.
You were Maybach.
I'm
waiting
so
for
ready.
This part.
Inching for that.
So
been
ready.
Waiting for this part.
Folks
of the
who are more sensitive than R&B singers,
we do
talk about it.
We do. I do want to talk about Meek Mill and Wale. So Meek Mill went on Twitter and blasted Wale for not supporting, aka promoting his album.
Tweeting is
up.
The word he used.
Tweeting. He specifically didn't tweet. By the way,
that's
Omarion
the MMG.
Didn't either. Omarion
oh, but he sure as hell did right after.
Right after, yeah.
Right after he got busy.
He tweeted. But Wale was very, I think it was a very mature response that Wale did on Instagram as to why he didn't. And he actually did a minute ago. He posted something about Meek Mill's like single or something like that on his Instagram. But also it was just very like respectful, and he doesn't handle things the way other people handle things. And of course, being the emo ass that I am, I kind of spotted how he said that he text messaged happy Father's Day to Meek, and Meek didn't even say anything. I know. So what do you, I mean, Jason, because clearly you're dying to talk
no,
about
I
this.
Have two, I have two points I want to make. The first was that I thought it was really funny when Meek Mill shot off about Wale on Twitter, because I thought it was funny because I picture everything Meek Mill says as in the way that he raps, which is that like he's just screaming, where he's just like, Wale, you never told me. So it's just like totally like no punctuation, just going off. And the second point I want to make, can you just imagine him like tweeting, about to eat a ham sandwich?
Uh-huh.
So the second point I want to make is that I have so much love for Meek Mill for using the insult cornball, because mm-hmm. cornball, we should bring that back into the lexicon. Like, he could have said anything, but he's like, I'm gonna call him a cornball. That's great. Like, I can't
call him a cornball when you're tweeting about the fact that he didn't tweet about your album.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That to me is a cornball.
Here's
off.
The thing. Here it's very
the
interesting.
Real cornball.
It's very interesting with those two, because obviously they're it's apples and oranges with them. They handle situations very different. I think it was a bit much when I was scrolling through the timeline. I seen Meek's, you know, tweet, but I've heard rumblings about them having issues,
right.
So it didn't shock me. I'm like, okay, here we go. Right.
It was about time.
It's about to happen. How Wale responded was very, you know, the high road. It was, you know, very admirable. I think it could have been handled behind closed doors. I think Ross should have got to it when he saw Meek go. I think, or someone of that stature should have got to one of them, Jay, or whoever's around them, should have got to them and said, listen, this is not how it's going to go. I think Meek was just expressing himself, as he always does on Twitter. I don't think it couldn't have gone anywhere else. I don't think if it would have been a diss record, then it would have been a little bit too much.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like now you're putting effort
within
into
camps.
This. Yeah, like
yeah.
You're putting effort into dissing
right.
the
family.
Team. Like,
right.
But and I don't even want to say family, because that's another thing. Like, they weren't brought up together.
Right.
You feel what I'm saying? Like, this isn't a Rockefeller situation. It's not a diplomat situation.
But, like, even if they were, look at all those cases. You
right.
know what I mean?
Well,
but
and that's true. But when, you know, people were like, well, how are you dissing your own friends? How you, like, they're coworkers.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Right? They're acquaintances.
Right.
Right? They were put out in a pod and said, this is the situation. This is your lane. This is his lane. We're going to make this work when it's a collective.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that you're not obligated to, like...
to like them.
Right.
It's not a fraternity.
It's exactly. So it's like, I get, you know, the differences. I understand it. But Meek has a right. Not a right, but, you know, Meek can feel how he feels. Mm-hmm. And Wale can respond how he responds. But at the end of the day, this is a business.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This is not a friendship. This
right.
is not a family. This is not a real family. I don't care how much money you make together.
Yeah.
You guys didn't really, really come out together. You were put
right.
in a situation to better your situation.
Right.
That's
and
what it was.
At some point, all facades will crumble.
Right.
You know, especially with the pressures of social media when, you know, like that story that we all love, like all my exes live in text.
Oh, Drake.
Who wrote it. But you guys know that article that came out, right? And it was talking about how social media, you can't ever really break up with somebody because they're always being reminded. So in an instance like this, to make it make sense with MMG and Meek and Wale, when you're seeing people retweet and retweet, and then it's like, it's a constant reminder that this one dude didn't do it. Didn't. You know what I mean? So it's strange that I have to kind of train my mind to look at highly emotional situations and take a factor as Twitter and not look at it so like plainly like, but my dude, you know what I mean? Sometimes you can't just say it's just Twitter, because it's not. It's a huge platform that can influence duplication, you know, that can influence numbers and all that sort. But at the same time, it's like, Twitter, you have a moment. You have so many moments to think twice. You know what I mean? It's not as impulsive as it seems, because first, you're typing. So it's not even just, you know, speaking without thought. You're typing. So you see this word put down, followed by the next word. Mm. And then you might even go back just to make sure cornball is spelled with two L's. You feel me?
Right. Then, because some don't.
Right, because some don't. Then you have to take your pointer finger and go to send. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Then you even have 2 seconds, if you're quick with it, where you could delete. So there's just a lot of thought that goes into putting something out on Twitter and then continuing to put it out. And Meek, I think one of the reasons why he works phenomenally as an artist is because he is a firecracker, ready to pop at any time.
Right.
You know?
I wasn't surprised.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised when I saw it.
I wasn't surprised. But
I was
just
surprised,
like,
as to how Wale responded.
Oh, I wasn't surprised
by
that.
I was expecting a very more emotional.
Nah,
I know. Yeah, now
he wasn't going to react.
If this was a year ago, it'd have been a reaction. It'd have been, you know, a situation. But I think there's a leaf that he's trying to turn over.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Even with how he responds to people on Twitter, and we would notice when he would, you know, talk to people on Twitter, curse at them and just belittle them, and it's like, dog, why are you giving that energy?
Random folks, not even artists,
just random people. So now when this happens, everybody was like, oh, Wally's gonna get emotional, oh, Wally's gonna spaz, and I'm like, nah, I don't think. So like that whole long thing, that's okay. That makes
Meek,
sense.
Like, he even put out that tweet. That was so early in the morning, like, motherfucker's still sleeping. If he's on the West Coast, it's 6 o'clock in the morning.
But he knew what it was. It's like, this is the first thing niggas is going to see when they get up. This is exactly, and that's what it was. That's exactly, the entire day or the entire morning was dedicated to those two.
But that's why I feel like, again, because you see the power of Twitter, and rappers are now in control of their own headlines, you know, because you don't have to wait for Eric Ramirez to call you up to say a statement. Fuck everything. Let me just go on Twitter and put it out. So I feel like with the album, since we're talking album.
But it's not coming out till September. So this was a lot, you know, a lot of that was being said, oh, this is album promo. No, this is something that's been brewing.
Mm-hmm.
He just woke up and was like, yo, fuck this. I'm sure something happened.
Or someone mentioned something, right?
Something happened for him to snap, because I don't think Meek is that impulsive where it's just like, oh, I'm going to wake up and, you know, diss Wale today.
Right.
Something happened, something was said, something wasn't said. And I think the album promo that has little to do with it.
Okay.
I think. I'm not saying.
That makes sense with reminding that it dropped in September.
Yeah, like if it was coming out August 1st or maybe next week,
right.
It's like, okay, dude, we see now we're looking at it.
Yeah,
you feel what I'm saying? But September, this is something, he genuinely has an issue.
Right.
And maybe they've tried behind closed doors. Maybe they've tried to text. Maybe they've tried to talk to Ross or set, you know, sit in meetings, whatever, and it just didn't work. Or it did work for 2 weeks, and now it's just like, okay, dog, I see the phoniness, and I want everybody else to see it. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to bang.
But as real as it is, or maybe, I still didn't want to see it. I feel like, especially in the times where like TDE changes their avatar to the other artist's like album cover and like supports the hell out of the other artist, and it just feels so genuine and they seem like a family, but also some of them did grow up together. Like, I didn't want to see Meek shout like blasting Wale because he didn't tweet about his album. Like,
but
it's just like,
again, it's I know it, you what, have it's to not promote. Just that. I don't think it's just
well,
that.
Well, yeah, right, because they've been on video interviews and they've clearly seemed, or Meek seemed, annoyed by Wale.
Yeah, like there's a disconnect between those two. Right. There's if you really look at it and see how they are in front of each other, like if you've been around them or been, you know, in situations with them, you can see it's not a Meek and a Wale, or it's not a Jeezy and a YG. You feel what I'm saying? Like, it's not like there. You could tell there's a pillow there that's keeping them apart. So I'm not surprised by it, and I don't think it's as petty as the album thing. I don't think it's just that, and I don't think we'll ever know like why these two don't like each other. You feel what I'm saying? But it's way more than that.
Let me ask you guys a question because I'm interested in this. What do you guys think about the state of MMG today? Because I'm always fascinated by these hip hop groups that really have this flashy entrance as MMG did in 2011. There was, you know, back then it was Ross, Wale, Meek Mill, and Pill. Mm-hmm. Pill no longer.
I had to bring up Pill.
Come on.
I just want to say that before this podcast, Jason told me that he will definitely bring up Pill. So I'm glad that you finally got to.
My trap is always going ham. So, since then, in those past 3 years, Ross has continued to put out albums that have sold really well. Wale and Meek Mill are really consistent artists. What do you guys think? I mean, now there's infighting. There haven't really been any other artists to come out of that camp. Not even like a critically, like someone like an Absol and TDE may not sell a ton of records, but like he has a lot of respect and they, you know, and a lot of love. There hasn't even really been that in Maybach. I mean, what do you guys think about them in 2014?
Now, currently, I think Meek is the leader of that crew. Yeah. I think Ross's last project wasn't what it was built up to be. I think they handled it very terribly. From the videos to the promotion, there was no big moment for him.
Sanctified could have been so much bigger.
I mean, it still has it, but Sanctified should have been so much bigger. You feel what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, Devil is a Lie should have been so much bigger. Right. But I think it was just they relied on the names. And then we're looking at, you know, Wale. You know, Wale goes through his situations and he's moody and then he interacts with the fans the wrong way. So it's like, I mean, we were just talking about this on Twitter this morning. Like, I think the coding of Wale and I think how he brings himself out and how he, you know, showcases himself, it's so detrimental to how people like his music or even receive it. You feel so like they can't fall in love with the music because he's such an asshole.
Right.
Or trying to prove that he's not an asshole.
Right.
So it's like, fuck, dude. Like, I want to get to your CD packaging, but I can't even like pick up the CD because of what you're talking about on Twitter.
Right.
So when I see your name, it's like, man, nah.
Right. And if that's what's happening in the public eye, you can only imagine what it's like behind.
This is what I'm saying. This is not just an album.
In situations like conglomerates, you need to have folks who are A-OK with being soldiers, you know. And I mean, this is all just theory, but there may have also just been friction between who's the second gunner. After Ross, you know what I'm saying? And then it's like, okay, whose album's gonna come out first? And it's like, okay, is that a declaration of whatever success if Meeks comes before
Wale?
You know what I mean? Just all types
because
of weird.
Because they're so good in their own right. And it's like, nah, I'm not playing second fiddle to, yeah, you're a great rapper, but like, dog, like, I could sell out, you know, venues too. You feel what I'm saying? Like, I got dope verses. I got a verse with Jay. I got, you know, I've been nominated for a Grammy. Like, why the fuck I got to open up? Or why the fuck I got to take the back seat? So it's always going to be that. I don't know how Ross looks at it, but I know between those two, it has to be there. Because there are people who champion Meek crazy, but then there are people who champion Wale ridiculously.
Yo, this
you feel
all
what I'm
reminds
saying?
Me
so,
of, like, Diddy's making the band.
That's so sad.
And fucking Aubrey and Dawn or whatever. Like, I'm telling you, man, sometimes, like, great music coming from different artists, yeah, you can connect off of that aspect off of being black male rappers. But sometimes that's not enough for people to connect.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You need more. And I think I'm actually more interested in MMG because, you know, they're not saving face.
Yeah, now,
And now I'm like, you know what? I actually may, in an ironic twist, I may be more down for your clique.
This is a dysfunctional family.
This
like,
is a
dog,
dysfunctional
like, y'all,
family.
So y'all are fucked up.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
shit. Y'all are fucked
to you guys
up.
Now.
So you're saying there needs to be a Maybach music group reality show. That's basically what's going to happen.
All we're saying is we don't
guest
mind.
Guest starring Omarion.
Oh, I mean, can you imagine?
Oh,
hey, guys, I can't get in. Yeah.
Omarion's the drunk young uncle.
I don't mind.
As long as he dances
mind it.
Through the door,
yeah.
I'm okay.
I'm good.
I don't mind this dysfunction. I don't mind this bump in the road. I don't mind it because it's like we all knew there was something there. Like when they're on stage and they're at their award show,
and that red carpet,
right?
Shit,
like we know. All right, who's gonna be the first one to pop off?
Right.
It's like a reality show. Like you turn on VH1, you don't watch that shit. It's like we know. Right. Like who's gonna swing first? Who's gonna throw the drink first?
Right.
Meek threw the drink.
Because in a way, like you said, in a way, it's still
Meek threw the drink.
And while I ain't you, to the table, but you didn't.
And then while I respond, why did he throw the drink in?
I know that's his confessional.
The reality show is just going to be you playing every
single
one.
All right, that's fine.
Yeah, someone's got to make that into like a comic strip or something.
Man,
but
funny.
It does. It
that's
makes
funny.
Them more real. Like even though we don't say they didn't grow up together, but this is very family traits that they're showing.
Yeah,
like they're annoyed by each other and all that.
Yeah, like they're brothers. And I don't, you know, I guess it goes against what I was saying, but like I guess maybe they are brothers. Maybe this is because if you didn't give a fuck, like you wouldn't
This made this made their own headlines on whatever day, but I still don't think it's that deep.
Like, you know what
I mean, I think they're annoyed and they're like, you know, but I don't know if it's that like
you think
scary. Like it shouldn't be that. I don't think it's that crazy. Like I don't think Wale or MG or Meek are not going to be part of MMG, although. I love Meek's hashtag.
That
of was
so
not MMG.
That was so
I don't think one of them is gonna get
that stung. I'm like, okay,
you know,
you're gonna have to write that,
the
man.
You should have wrote YOU. That would have made it really sting.
That's not that.
I
hurts.
Was like, man, you took back
stop.
Some fire when
no,
you just took the letter.
No, everybody's thought that. Everybody's thought that. Like, yo, is Wale? Is he really down?
No, I automatically thought of the Kid Cudi that I don't fuck with you musically. Or we don't fuck with you musically.
Yo, he's gotta shoot somebody. Wale's got to shoot somebody.
No, he's like much calmer Wale.
Yo, that's the second time, like, musically. Now you're not in the group. Like, dog. Like, you got to shoot the fair one with somebody, man.
But you know what bothers me? How come we don't look at two rappers online? No one uses the word catty in any of their write-ups. But if
petty, but we use petty.
Petty is the catty for men.
Okay,
petty is the caddy.
Because I feel like maybe this would have gotten a different type of attention if it was two women.
No, because that... Meek's tweet about Wale or you know is petty, like
it was ridiculous.
But it's like, what do you? All right, but it's like, what do you expect him to do? Like, do you expect him? Well, he tried. Oh, I don't know, but like, what do you like? I would hope so. But it's like, what do you want him to do? Like it's not just the album problem. Like, there was something that happened within like maybe a 2 or 3 week span that was like, yo, this fucking kid doesn't get it. Like, I'm trying, and this motherfucker keeps not, you know, trying to fall in line with shit. So it's just like, I guess he was fed up, woke up and was like, yo, I don't fuck with this nigga, right? And it's unfortunate, but it's like, I mean, you said it's not that deep, but I think there's
I think
it's deeper than
you,
just
but
an
do you
album
think it's
promo.
Going well, I guess my question is, do you think it's going to get worse
if someone does not step in? And I'm talking about a Ross, I'm talking about a Lior, I'm talking about, you know, someone who's watched these guys come from zero to where they are now. Someone has to be like, put them in a room, like, listen, either y'all are gonna figure this out or neither one of y'all are MMG. No, dead ass. Like, you can't make Wale suffer because he's not promoting the album. You can't make Meek suffer because he tweeted. It's like, figure this shit out or these deals are cut.
Right.
You feel what I'm saying? So it's like, you got to treat them like little kids. Like, y'all not getting dinner tonight if y'all fix this shit.
And you ain't getting hoes.
Right.
Okay.
Or Ciroc.
On that
or
note,
Bel-Air.
I think that's our time for this week. You need to chill. For this week's episode of the Juice Podcast. I appreciate you guys coming in. I appreciate Jason being on the podcast one more time. Thanks, guys.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.